We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Governor, it was back in January when Baltimore-based Wexford Science and Technology signed a purchase and sale agreement for its planned development on the former I-195 land in Providence. We haven't heard much about it since then. Is that project going forward?
I believe it is, yes. You know, these things take time, but we're working on it. In fact, I had a call with them just about a week ago, and I think it is on path. It's the first big project that we're trying to get done on the 195 land, and the first one does take a good deal of time, but I feel, yes, we're going to get it done.
What is the next step for this project, and are there any potential stumbling blocks?
You know, I wouldn't say stumbling blocks, but there's always, work to be done. They will most likely be coming to us for some incentives out of our new toolkit of economic development incentives. But they're also looking for tenants. So the core thing here is you need an anchor tenant or two in order for them to feel like it's going to be a go.
Why do you think Boston is doing so well economically? You know, you look at the Forest of Cranes, and even you work for a company in Providence that moved to Boston.
Because they have been phenomenally good at partnering with their colleges, universities, and hospitals. They figured out before a lot of people that the name of the game in this new economy is talent and innovation. They're lucky. They have Harvard, MIT, Mass General, the whole thing, but they were smart. They put money into it, they partnered, and they drew out all the capital and talent from those companies. And now a lot of companies I talk to, they want to be there because there's a hub of talent. That's why if Rhode Island wants to be like that, we have to invest in skills and talent and keep these young college graduates in Rhode Island. I talked last week at the URI graduation and said a few words for commencement. And my message was, guys, stay in Rhode Island. I need every college graduate to think about starting a business here or staying here.
We're taping Thursday, and Vice President Joe Biden is coming to Rhode Island on Friday to tout your bridge infrastructure improvement plan. Is that as a result of an invitation by your administration?
Yes. Well, I've been talking to the Obama administration from the beginning about roadworks, and I actually had the opportunity to meet the vice president earlier this year at a National Governors Association event, and he knew about it. He said, you know, good job for you in Rhode Island. More states need to do this. We need to invest in infrastructure. So we reached out and said, hey, we were able to get it done. Would you like to come and be part of it? So it's a good thing when Rhode Island is recognized as being a national leader in solving our own problems.
Republicans in the state are not so clear that your plan is a good thing. They've made no secret of how they plan to use this as a campaign issue against legislative Democrats this fall. Do you plan to campaign in support of the Democratic lawmakers who voted for your bridge improvement plan?
If I can be helpful, and if I'm asked, I'm happy to do that. This was about solving a problem. I have to say, I can't get through a day as governor without at least one person coming up to me saying, Governor, the roads are terrible, fix them. I mean, everywhere. Governor, get rid of the potholes, fix the roads, the bridges are falling apart. It takes money to do that. My answer is, I'm on it, we're doing it, we're fixing our roads and bridges. So I don't think we should shy away from it. We're investing in infrastructure, we're putting people to work, and we're finally fixing the roads.
I realize hindsight, Governor's always 20/20, but as you look back, don't you think you made kind of a mistake on the Don Lally issue and not making him get an ethics advisory opinion now that the Republicans, Chairman Bell, went out and kind of embarrassed you guys? And now the Ethics Commission has come out and said that, yes, indeed, there was probable cause. This wasn't a smart thing to do.
Yes. You know, I've said that here on this program. Yes. You know, Lally should have gotten the opinion ahead
of time.
Well,
you should have. But wait a minute. It's your appointment. Shouldn't you have told him, basically, look, Don?
No, he should have. But you know, Scott, how it works. It's the person that has to ask, and it's the person that bears the burden. And he should have done that.
Yeah, but you're the governor. You're the governor. You're giving him the job. I mean, you could say, Don, look. You get the job, but
done.
You're not going to get the job. Okay.
Should have been.
When you announced your campaign for governor in December 2013, you said it was time for Rhode Island to finally turn the page. It sometimes seems like it's deja vu all over again in Rhode Island. We've got public officials being accused of wrongdoing. There are a lot of people still being left behind by the economy. So has Rhode Island turned the page?
In many ways, we have. Although certainly when you pick up the paper and you see Representative Gallison and, you know, Councilman Jackson, it's a huge step back. But in many ways, we are turning a page. You know, we also have created an awful lot of jobs this past year. We have, you know, last year I had terrific collaboration with the Assembly and we accomplished a great deal for Rhode Island. We're working together to get things done. It's an ongoing process. But I'm of the view, you know, talking earlier, I think we just have to stay at it and show people results. The people deserve results. They deserve good schools, good roads, good jobs. So let's stay at it. My job and the Assembly's job is to work together to do the work of the people. And over time, we'll show results. And I think that's the only way to gain people's trust.
Governor, I'm wondering right now, do you think you'll run again for re-election? Is that something you're looking at?
It's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about.
No, but you're raising
a
lot of money.
A year into this.
But you are raising a lot of money.
Yeah,
you have fundraisers.
You know, it's necessary. It's what everyone has to do. I wish I didn't have to. I'll be very honest about that. Mm-hmm. But sure, yes, that is certainly my plan.
Is there any chance if Hillary Clinton wins the presidential race that you might take a job in her administration?
No. That is not. So I'm committed to Rhode Island. I'm only a year and change into this job. We're getting a lot done and I want to serve the people. And this is where I want to be. And this is what I'm going to do. I hope she wins, but I'm staying where I am.
Couple of questions on the cooler and warmer campaign and tourism. Do you have any concerns the legislature as it prepares the House version of the budget? Are you concerned that tourism promotion money might be cut in the wake of the cooler and warmer fiasco?
But not particularly, but, you know, money is tight, obviously. And so we're working together through the budget and we'll have to see, you know, where we are able to find, you know, cuts versus investments. But we'll have to see. But no, not particularly.
And did you personally sign off on the cooler and warmer tagline?
It's funny. I don't think I did. It's not something that the governor would really get involved in. And I'm hardly a marketing expert. But to me, that wasn't what went wrong there. You know, I think any logo you pick, any piece of art you pick, some people like it, some people don't like it. The problem there was, first of all, the mistakes. As I dug into it and I saw how sloppy the process was, it is unacceptable and Rhode Islanders deserve better. The second thing was the process, which is that the people of Rhode Island who love this state weren't given enough of an opportunity to weigh in on it ahead of time. Those are the two things I know we didn't get right and we have to fix.
Any thoughts to any personnel changes in your top aides as you've been here for just over a year?
Yeah, it's a good question. I have to get through this session and then, you know, as you say, a year and a half in, it's a good time to sit down, see how everybody's doing and make sure I got the right team on the field.
And we're almost out of time here, but there's a lot of pushback in Burrillville against a proposed power plant there. You've been supportive of that project. Any chance that we'll see you change your position on that?
I have been supportive of it because I'm supportive of more sources of energy to bring down costs. But what I've also said a number of times is we're listening. You know, they have to go through the siting board process. And the people of Burrillville are raising very legitimate concerns with respect to water quality, pollution, et cetera. That's why we have this siting board process. And we have to listen. I've met myself a couple of times with the people who are against it. And we have to get it right. We can't, you know, so we're listening is the bottom line and have to let the process go forward and make sure we get it right.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Governor Gina Raimondo.
Have a good Memorial Day for everybody.